Matthew chapter 5. Let's look at verses 38 through 42 one more time.
Amen.
One more time. We're going to finish this section.
Amen.
It says, "You have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain or two. Give to him that asks thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away." Precious Lord, we thank you for the service. We thank you for just another opportunity to come to God's house and to lift you up and to fellowship with the people of God and just to sing praises to your name, lift up prayers to you, and just to worship you. Thank you for the word of God. Let it come across powerful today. Life-changing today. Let someone leave here today ready to go the extra mile, understanding what it takes to be a man or woman of God in an evil world where the world just throws so much at us. Give us discernment today. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Do you really trust God, or would you rather have Jesus than anything else? And there's a lot of stuff out there.
Amen.
A lot of stuff out there. And we talked last week, we talked about the 2 miler. We talked about the 2 miler. That person God would call to go the extra mile. They have to go the extra mile and maybe on your job, maybe in your marriage. Go the extra mile in your relationships with your loved ones, your friends. But I wanted to just cover a few more things today. Just going the extra mile in glorifying God. Going the extra mile in glorifying God. And when the world looks at us, when the world comes into the church, when unsaved people come into God's house, they ought to see folks that glorify God, that give God glory. That must be presence in God's house. The supernatural ought to be going on here. And when I say supernatural, I don't mean running all around and spinning around in circles and all that. I mean that the Holy Spirit have convicted you, and you are saved, and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and now you live a life that glorifies God. You live a life that desires the things of God, that desires the word of God, that desires the prayers and the songs, that want to be in fellowship with God. Jesus, in his own words in Matthew 5, we covered this before, but Jesus said this about the people that would represent him. In Matthew 5:16, he said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." When folks see us, they ought to glorify God. They ought to look at us and see God. We don't like that. Sometimes we want to turn the light out when we go into a dark place, but them folks need to see you.
Amen.
They need to hear what you have to say. They need to hear your opinion on controversial issues. They need to hear it. And they may not like it, and you may get attacked by it, but let me tell you something. God will be glorified. God will be glorified. Paul understood this, and in his teaching, Paul says this to the man of God or to the woman of God in Titus 2 and 13 and 14, one of my favorite verses. He said, "Looking for that blessed hope." See, we have something that the world don't have. We have hope. See, when I watch stuff, y'all know I spiritualize it all. It don't matter what it is. Yeah, the Super Bowl. Okay, the Masters, politicians. When I watch the fiasco this weekend, all this fighting and different things like that, I'm sitting here thinking, listen, look at all these folks without hope. Because they're looking for a man or they're looking for a woman, or they're looking for Bernie, or whatever. They got all their hope in man. Uh-huh. They got all their hope in man. And then this, I'm going to tell you something. It's only getting worse.
Amen.
It ain't getting better. Amen. And y'all think y'all can vote somebody in? You in trouble.
Amen.
You stand in line 4 hours in the rain to hear somebody carrying signs around, you without hope. Paul says that we ought to be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. What's that mean? I mean, we ought to have our eyes set on the prize. I mean, we ought to have our eyes set on the prize, and we know, come what may, if this is our last week on this earth, if that was Deacon Oliver's last prayer, if that was Jacinda's last song, let me tell you something, it only gets better. It only gets better. And I say it all the time. Let me tell you something. Live each day like it's your last day. Preach every sermon like it's your last sermon. Sing every song like it's the last song you're going to sing. If somebody asks, if Minister Brian asks you to pray, pray like it's your last prayer. Oh, my goodness. And when you live like that, God gets glory. Oh, God gets glory. God gets glory. David, I believe David. Somebody always, David always say to me, how you doing? You know, have a good day. Just another day. I hear people say, well, just another day. You say, how you doing? That's just another day. Really? Really? You think you can get that off with David? Because David said, no, don't say that to me. He said, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us what? Rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, ain't nothing worse than a sourpuss Christian. Don't understand that it's only by God's grace and by God's mercy that you're able to even wake up. And even think about waking up and getting you some bacon and eggs and grits. That's just icing on the cake. Paul says in Titus 2 and 13, looking for that blessed hope. It's always in front of us. It's always there for the believer. What? The glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Watch this. Here's what he did. Here's what makes him great for the believer. Now, if he ain't great for you, because you probably don't believe like you should, but this ought to resonate with you. Who gave himself for us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, lost in darkness, God had what? Gave himself for us. If you wasn't here Friday, download Jake's sermon on election.
Amen.
He made it simple, so simple.
Amen.
Why God died for you. He gave himself for us. Why? That he might redeem us from all iniquity. From all sin.
Uh-huh.
There ain't a sin any of us in here committed that God can't redeem us from.
Amen.
See, some folks say, well, you committed the unpardonable sin. There's no such thing right now.
Amen.
There ain't no sin God can't deliver you from and save you from and redeem you from.
Amen.
From all iniquity. And what? Purify you unto himself, a peculiar people. You better believe it. I love peculiar people. I know I'm peculiar. I'm weird, strange, different. Nothing wrong with it.
Amen.
Nothing wrong with it. I'm not trying to fit in. I'm trying to fit out.
Amen.
I ain't trying to fit in. I don't want to be like anybody else. I'm not going to get over here and change the way I talk. And, you know, some pastors, they all sound the same. They get in the pulpit. They all change their voice. Call them on the phone and say, you know, who you talking to? No, be yourself.
Amen.
Be peculiar and be proud of being peculiar.
Amen.
See? See, some of y'all kids get in trouble. Young people get in trouble because you're trying to fit in.
Oh,
and you know, I like his swagger. I like her swagger. Listen, like your own swagger.
Amen.
Like your own swagger. Be peculiar. Be different. Be strange. Nothing wrong with it. And then be zealous of good works. Zealous of good works. Whatever the situation is. Whatever you sit, whatever your situation is, whatever you find yourself in, and you're going to find yourself in some mess. Just because you get saved don't mean you ain't going to have mess. Okay? You're going to find yourself in some mess, and you know what that means? That word zealous for good works means? Even in your mess, find a way in that mess to give God glory.
Amen.
You know what? The second miler is compassion. We talk about the passion of Christ. Let's talk about the compassion of Christ. Okay? And I'm not a big fan of the movie. We all know that because I don't think, I don't need to see Christ getting beat and bloodied up for 2.5 hours. I want to talk about his compassion. And some of us got a lot of compassion. But most of it's on the shelf. Most of it's in a jar or in a can or in somewhere in storage. Does your compassion work? Do you have a compassion that works? Everybody say, I'm compassionate. I'm so compassionate. But nobody ever see it. Jesus' compassion was visible. Jesus was coming into town and he ran into a leper. I love this story in Mark 1:41. Jesus ran into a leper. Everybody run from the leper. See? And it says in verse 40, and there came a leper unto him. Fingers probably falling off. Ears might have been falling off. You get the idea if you watch some of the zombie movies, a leper would have looked like a zombie. And it just would have been a putrid looking thing. And this leper came to him, and the leper is beseeching him, begging him, and kneeling down. Now, when a leper kneeled down, there was no possibility that his knee would have stayed on the ground. Okay? So he was all in. What's it saying? This leper was all in. He was kneeling down unto him and saying unto him, if thou will, thou can make me clean. He said, he didn't say if you could. He didn't say if you got the power to do this. He said, if thou will. He knew Jesus had the power. He knew he had the power. He said, if thou will, thou can make me clean. Now watch Jesus. Compassion in action. And Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him. That leper probably hadn't been touched since he contracted leprosy.
Amen.
See, some folks need to be touched.
Amen.
Now, y'all know I'm touchy. Okay, I'm a touchy pastor. I'm appropriate now. I'm going to touch you. I'm not inappropriate touching. Y'all know some pastors like that. I done seen pastors hug women with their hands under their coat. Now, I'm not going to hug you like that. Okay, I'm not compassionate enough to be tapping you on your thigh and all that. Like, okay, I'm gonna punch you in the back and elbow you in the head, or just tap you on the shoulder. Men and women, and Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and said unto him, "I will. Be thy clean." Man, somebody need it. Somebody need Jesus to just touch him today.
Amen.
Somebody need a touch. Just a touch.
Amen.
Oh, listen, let me tell you something. It's good to be touched by the Lord. It's good to feel the power of the Lord in your body. See, we talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what it means. To be filled with the Holy Spirit, to know that the power of God is in you. And you can call on him. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit just a little bit today. But compassion serves. Compassion serves. I hear Rita up here, and we love doing what we do here. Come on out on Friday nights. Come out on the sunrise service. Come out on fifth Sundays. We do cake. We that radio. See that radio over there? Save us a lot of money. Okay? So we can eat a little bit. But we don't have to pay no musician $700 a month to get up here and perform and then fall asleep. So I don't have a problem eating some cake because I think about the radio musician. And sometimes in the act up, Claire can't get them right. Listen, if you're compassionate, you're going to serve. I think about Romans 16. Paul starts talking about the people of his church, the people that helped him in ministry. See, you got work to do. You got work to do. So I'll call you out. You know, some people say, you just delegate. Yeah, I'm going to tell you something. You sit up here long enough, I'm going to ask you to do something.
Amen.
Okay? I'm going to ask you to do something. Get involved. If you say you got the Holy Ghost, if you say you got the Holy Spirit, if you say you're a child of God, you ought to be serving and doing something. Every one of us, if you're saved, God gives you a gift. Don't tell me you're saved and you can't do nothing. Because when you were saved in the world, you was doing everything you could. With all our might. Jesus, Paul in Romans 16, 1. Listen to what he says to the people that work with him. He said, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is in Centre, that you receive her in the Lord as becoming of saints, that you assist her in whatever so business that she have need of, for she have been a secure of many and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life, listen to this, who for my life, Paul, laid down their necks. See, some people think, well, you get saved and you serve church, and okay, you're gonna get called out. This risky business. This tough work. Ministry is tough. We make it like it's easy. Ministry tough. Difficult. How's your compassion? How's your servant attitude? How's your passion? How about this? How about Jesus? One more time. Here's Jesus. You know that verse, 11:35. Why did he weep? Why did it say Jesus wept? In his humanity, in his human nature, he wept. Because he knew what sin had done. He knew what sin has done to the world. And when we watch TV, we don't got to watch. We can watch anything we want to watch, and we see sin. Amen. All you got to do is turn it on, and you see sin. Amen. When I sat in that hospital and talked to that young lady whose boyfriend had shot her 5 or 6 times at point-blank range and just looked at her and watched her bleed out and wasn't even called an ambulance for her, I see sin. I see sin. And the wages of sin is death. And if you stay in sin long enough, okay, you will die. You will die the death and be separated from God for all eternity. Satan don't lay off. Now, I always say, you know what? When you up here in that casket, that box, listen, if you were doing it in a funeral home, if you had a funeral home and you in that box, they got about 20, 30 more boxes downstairs and another 50 out in the garage. They got one for you. And all of us going to have to get in one. All of us. All of us. Listen, it's difficult work. Working for the Lord is difficult. Isaiah knew it in Isaiah 53. It talks about Jesus 53:3. He said, he was despised and rejected of man, accounted as the scum of mankind. How about that? Thank you. A man of sorrows. Why was Jesus a man of sorrows? Because you can't have the Spirit of God in you walk this earth and not be sorrowful. When you see your lost friends and your lost family and your lost co-workers and you see a lost world and you running around here happy-go-lucky all the time. Man of God is a man full of sorrows. A woman of God is a woman full of sorrow when you see what sin has done in our world. In our world. How about it? Paul learned something from Jesus. The man of God. The man that's going to be great for God, the man that trusts God, will not be moved. You know, one thing I hear all the time, I hear people say, well, you know, I've decided to rededicate my life to the Lord. No, you haven't. Amen. You haven't rededicated anything to the Lord. What you're doing is you're getting saved for the first time. Amen. You're not rededicating anything. You're not. You're getting saved, and now you're going to make a commitment to God. And if you make that commitment in 5 years from now, you say, well, I haven't been to church since I made that commitment. You didn't make a commitment. Amen. You just said some words. Because, see, the man or woman of God, you're going to be pushed, and you're going to be proud, and you're going to be talked about. You're going to be lied on. You're going to be cheated. But you know what Paul says? He said, but none of these things move me. None of these things move me. Listen, I'm not going to be preaching a different message 5 years from now. Amen. Okay? I don't go back 5 and 7 years and preach something and say, well, I don't know why I preached that. I've changed. I've moved. I've changed my position. It's not a change. God's saying yesterday, today, forevermore. And if you preach something in 2016 and in 2020, you changing or something happened.
Amen.
It don't change.
Amen.
Paul on his way to die in Jerusalem, and his distractors were saying, Paul, don't go. Don't go. Well, they were telling Jesus not to go to the cross.
Uh-huh.
Then when he was on the cross, they said, Jesus, you saved others. Save yourself. Come down from the cross. The thief said, listen, if you be the Christ, if you be the Christ, save yourself and us too. Satan wants you to quit. He wants you to stop. He wants you to quit. He wants you to reconsider. Okay? See, you can do that on your job. They may transfer you. You don't have no control over that. Okay? You may be in the military and you may come home, be with your family, and you may get redeployed. You can't do nothing about that. But your faith, and I heard Jake talking to the young people this morning about faith. Your faith should not move.
Amen.
You know, the Bible said we ought to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Paul said, but none of these things move me. He said, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course, how Paul, with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Pastor, that sounds good. You know, you tell us that we ought not move, and you tell us how to be compassionate, or you tell us to be compassionate. Talk to us about being compassionate. How do I get that kind of compassion? I'm glad you asked. Listen, turn to Jude. Turn to book of Jude, please. It's worth it. Right before Revelation, the next to the last book in your Bible. Turn to Jude. It's only one chapter, small book. It might take you a minute to get there. But while you're looking, I'm going to be at verse number 20. Now I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back all the way to 17. No, all the way to 16. Having a Wednesday night flashback. Okay? I'm at Jude 1 and 16, or Jude 16. Now, folks, listen, we're in an evil world. Sin is everywhere. We being pressed on every side. Okay, folks are asking us to do stuff we never thought we would do. Some of us are doing stuff we never thought we would do. Because we are living in the last days, and we're living in a fallen world. And if we don't have the power of God working in our life, we have no defense, no strength.
Amen.
Folks dropping dead all over the world, all over the community, all over the towns, because they can't say no. No, can't say no. Listen, here's Jude now. Now, Jude had already said earlier in the chapter, we ought to contend for the faith. Once given. Contend means fight. Now, we know, y'all know, Pastor always talking about fighting. I don't know why he ain't in the ring. Well, this is fighting stuff.
Amen.
Okay? I don't have time to be praise dancing and miming and all that stuff. I don't have time for that because, see, some of y'all going out right now today and y'all going out to a mean world, you're going to get your head knocked off.
Amen.
And I'll be up here praise dancing and all that and miming. I ain't got time for that.
Amen.
We can do that on Saturday. Okay? So we're right here today. Y'all need to be equipped for the warfare that you're in. Oh, we don't. I'm not in a warfare. You know, you're not in a warfare. That's why you're getting beat up.
Amen.
Don't have no equipment on. Don't have no armor on. Don't have no helmet on. And you're running around here mean and nasty all the time. And you're wondering why. Because you're behaving like your father, the devil. He mean and nasty. He contrite. He evil. He a liar. He a cheat. But I want to be passionate. I'm going to show you how. I'm going to show you how. Now that I've explained all of Jude 16 all the way to 21, listen, verse 20, here we go. But ye beloved. Now I'm talking about how to be compassionate, how to be great, how to be great for God. Who want to be great for God? Is it just me? Am I the only one here that want to be great for God?
Amen.
Man, I you know what? I get on. You know, y'all know I love Ray. He probably said, oh, you shut up. Funny way of showing it. Let me. Ray and Daquan come off. They run the track. Listen. You run to win.
Amen.
You prepare to win.
Amen.
You prepare to win. You don't prepare to come in third place.
Amen.
And if you come in third place, it's not because you were slothful. It's because somebody else was just flat out better. They just beat you. But it's not because you didn't prepare or you didn't try and you didn't work hard and you didn't train. It's because somebody was just better.
Uh-huh.
And that's what God is asking us. He said, be great for me. And he said, here's how. Jude 20 and 21. He said, but beloved, here's how. First step, building up yourselves on the most holy faith. Let me tell you something. There's a whole lot of faith out there. There's some bad faith out there. There's a word of faith. Okay? There's a word of faith. People say, well, you speak power into action.
Uh-huh.
No. The holy faith is the right kind of faith, and that's the faith that found in the scriptures.
Amen.
It's the faith that God used to save you, for by grace are you saved through
faith.
And not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Listen, here's a step two, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, this will catch some of y'all. I'm going to explain this now. Because some of y'all automatically want to speak in tongues. That's not what it means.
Amen.
Watch this now. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Listen, the Holy Ghost is a person who lives inside of you, who's going to direct you and guide your thoughts, guide your speaking, and tell you what to say and what not to say. And he needs to be fed. And when you feed him, he's going to speak boldly for him. Some of us speak in crazy language because we don't have the real Holy Ghost in us.
Amen.
And we don't know what we're saying. The Holy Ghost is going to give you divine instructions.
Amen.
And when you pray, you're going to know what to pray for.
Amen.
You're not going to be praying for a Mercedes Benz when all you need is a Chevy Cruze to get you back and forth to work.
Amen.
He's going to give you the right kind of prayers. Let me give you the third point. Listen. It says, praying in the Holy Ghost. And it says, keeping yourself. I like this one here. In the love of God. Stop right there. Keeping yourself in the love of God. How do we do that, Pastor? How do I keep myself in the love of God? Let me tell you. Martha. Was a two-miler. Martha went that extra mile. Listen. In Luke 10, the story of Martha and Mary. And I got a couple of them. There's a couple stories of Martha and Mary. But Luke 10, 38 says this. Now, it came to pass as they went that they entered into a certain village and a certain woman named Martha received him in her house. She received Jesus. So she prepared a meal and she set the table for Jesus. And she had a sister named Mary. Now, if you're there and you got a King James Bible, it don't say her name was Mary. Now, I know I get stuck on this little stuff, but it said she had a sister called Mary. I figured Jake would get that. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at his feet, at Jesus' feet, and heard his word. Let me tell you something. She was called Mary. And she sat at his feet. There's our word, Margaret. And she heard his word. There's no better source. There's no better source than to sit at the feet of Jesus and get some good, clear understanding of the gospel. And if Jesus is in the house, if Jesus came to this church, and if you say you're going to be sitting at his feet, and we get to ask all them questions that we just all confused about. Can you lose your salvation? Jesus is, do you believe in women preachers? All that kind of stuff. We'll get a clear answer about it. Huh? Oh, Pastor, you taking off on something different. I got them questions, and some of y'all got some of them questions. But Martha, verse 40, was cumbered about much serving. Sometimes when Jesus is in the house, you got to leave some stuff undone. Sometimes you got to leave some stuff undone. Okay, you know, with brother Jake preaching on Friday, or brother Madison preaching on next Friday. Listen, I need to be there to support these brothers that God has called. I know I got plans. I know I need to mulch the yard. But I need to hear from God. Or even hear if these men are sent from God. I'm going to find out either way. I'm going to find out. Get to God's house when God's word is being preached. Listen to what Jesus said to her. Because Martha got on Mary. The Bible said, Martha said, Lord, does not thou care that my sister have left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Tell her to get up off the ground at your feet and help. Hear what Jesus said. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary have chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Get it while you can. Get it while you can. See, Daquan asked me this morning. Good question. He asked a good question. He asked me this morning. He said, "When have you born retarded? Do you go to heaven?" That's a good question. Now, I told him you ought to ask your Sunday school teacher because he got you all cranked up. But that's a good question. But a better question is this. What if you live your whole life and then you come down with Alzheimer's or something or have a stroke where you can't get no understanding, but you have 40 and 50 and 60 years to receive Jesus Christ? And now you can't hear God's word. Do you go to heaven? Because I'm of the persuasion that all babies go to heaven.
Amen. Amen.
Oh. Get right, church. Somebody sang it. Did we sing that earlier? And let's go home. Okay. The word of God said today, if you hear my voice, what? Harden not your heart. Because see, tomorrow ain't guaranteed. See, D.L. Moody was preaching in Chicago, and he told the church, he said, I'll see y'all next week. Well, you know what? Somebody set a fire in Chicago, or a fire started in Chicago, and burned up the whole town, and most of them people that was at that service died. And D.L. Moody said, well, I learned something from that. Tomorrow ain't guaranteed.
Amen.
See, somebody going to call me and say, you know what? So-and-so ain't with us no more. And then I sit there and think, well, you know what? I sure took it easy up in the pulpit, and we was miming and we was praise dancing, and I never got around to preaching the word. But, you know, and brother so-and-so didn't hear it.
Amen.
See, I don't know who walked in this door every Sunday.
Amen.
I don't know where you at spiritually, but I know one thing. If you stand here behind this pulpit, you need to be prepared to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Amen.
Because I just don't know. It's time out for playing.
Amen.
It's time out for playing. This ain't a game.
Amen.
Listen. I'm just bursting through this. How about one more person? And I'm gonna probably finish this next week because I feel like I've said a lot.
Amen. Keep going.
How about I thought about this one. I remember when Teddy was just beginning her treatments, we had a fundraiser for her and over at the church. We was trying to raise some money for her, and they asked me to say some words. And I talked about Dorcas. I talked about Dorcas or Tabitha. And in Acts 9:36, and this is just the way I just think. When I started thinking about compassion, I started thinking about compassionate action. And I started thinking about generosity and benevolence and all the words that come out of compassion. I thought about this one in Acts 9:36, and it says, "Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple." Now, he didn't say a certain woman named Tabitha. I hope y'all just take your time and study the Word of God. He said there was in Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha. Now I got to ask a question. Ask the verse the question. Why was she a disciple? A disciple is a learner, is a follower, is one that loves the Lord Jesus Christ. And she was at Joppa, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. For this woman was, I like this, full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. See, you can be full of compassion and good works and never do nothing. That's why you full. You just full of stuff you know you can do, know you should be doing, but you don't do it. You just full. Okay? I mean, it's just like a drip constantly and it just fill up. Listen, she was full. She was full. She was jam-packed, bursting with good works, which she did. See, some of us just receivers. All we want is just give me, give me, give me. I believe there's a parable that said that the horse had two sisters named Give Me, Give Me. They're all leeches or something. And we've got a generation of leechers. We bring up a generation of leeches that suck you dry, that suck the life out of you and ain't giving nothing back. Suck the life out of the church, suck the life out of home, and we'll walk by a paper bag in the parking lot. Listen to Tabitha. She was full of good works and alms deeds. And somebody, what is alms deeds? Alms deeds means just giving to the poor. Just giving to the poor. You don't have to wave your hand. Listen, I gave to the poor. I gave to the poor. You just give to the poor. Okay? Just give to the poor. You know, somebody in here struggling, got a single mother in here, may need some formula or something, and you just coming through the line at Giant Eagle or Walmart, you just go on, give me a $20 gift card, and you just, here. And you don't have to say, Pastor, I gave her a gift card. You got to announce that.
Amen.
You just give it to the poor. Or you don't got to be poor, just give it to somebody in need.
Amen.
Well, I don't know nobody in need. Well, you in the wrong world.
Amen.
Listen, and it came to pass. Now, this is interesting. It came to pass in those days that she was sick. And died. Now, when they had washed her, they laid her in the upper chamber. Okay? See, these folks wasn't accepting her death. They wouldn't accept. They said, we're going to lay her in the upper chamber. We're going to keep this body warm. Because, watch what it say. Now, let me tell you something. There would have been preachers all over that town. Okay? There would have been preachers all over that town. They might have been some preachers over there, but they called themselves apostles. And they would have had their little church, apostle this, apostle that. And they would have been claiming, well, we can do miracles and we can heal it and people still being raised from the dead. That's talk.
Amen.
See, that's talk. There are a whole lot of preachers that talk that stuff and die.
Amen.
And ain't nobody laid them in the upper chamber.
Amen.
And kept them warm. Okay? There's some famous preachers in this town that died, been sick. And ain't nobody called, no preacher, and say, come on, lay hands on him. We're going to raise him.
Amen.
See, here's what had to happen. Verse 38. And it says, and for as much as Lydia was not a Joppa, and the disciples, this is key, had heard, they understood, they heard that Peter was there. Now, what was wrong with the preachers that was in their community? There wasn't but 12. Okay? They what the word heard mean, they had heard that one of the 12, not the one on Market Street. Okay? They had heard that Peter, one of the 12, who had the power to heal and deliver and to raise folks from the dead, was there. And they sent unto him two men, probably preachers. Probably preachers, probably me and Minister Bryant. You know, we understand. I, You get sick, all I can do is pray for you. Okay? I remember when Cindy's mother was sick and she passed away. And the apostle from the west side went to the hospital, and then my first thought was, well, mama all right now, because the apostle from the west side of Youngstown has seen Cindy's mama. No, he ain't do nothing.
Amen.
He just prayed like I would do.
Amen.
Oh my goodness. I hope y'all getting this.
Amen.
I don't mean it'll be offensive. Y'all know I love my mother-in-law. She ain't always loved me, but you know, she learned to love me. Y'all ain't always loved me. Listen. And Peter arose. All them resurrection words. Peter arose and went with them. See, they went to Peter, and Peter arose, because that's what they wanted Lydia to do. That's what they wanted, Tabitha to do. And Peter rose and went with them, and when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by, and all the widows, stood by him weeping. And showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. Let me tell you something. Is anybody going to weep for you? Is anybody going to weep for you because of the work, because of the impact you have had on your community? Is anybody going to send for somebody to come and pray for you? I've marched them hospitals. I've walked them hallways, and I see some sick folk in there, and they don't have nobody. Don't have nobody. Never had a relationship with the church, and don't have nobody. Let me tell you something, folks. Be somebody. Be somebody. I look at Vernon. Vernon marched them halls and talking to folks and laying hands on them and praying for them and just kissing them and reporting. He ain't raised nobody yet. Nobody healed nobody. He be busy. He do. He called me and text me. I said, who's this calling me? I don't know this number. But he'd give me a report. Peter raised Dorcas from the dead because she was worthy. I don't know. Let's talk about the passion of Job, and I'm going to close. I'm going to let y'all go because I ain't going to be able to cover the other part. Listen, the Bible talks about Job. Talk about Job. God called Job out in Job 1:8. Job 1:8. Now, when I read these scriptures, and then what I really want you to do is just use a contrast. How do I compare with Dorcas? How does my ministry, how does my life in Christ compare with Martha or Mary or Tabitha? That's the contrast. That's why we use illustrations, because they're designed to move you toward greatness. Because, see, these are great people of God, and we can be great people of God. Job was a great man of God, and Satan had to answer to that. And my question, as I read this verse, what would Satan say about you? What would he say about you? It says, the Lord said unto Satan, verse 8, Job 1, has thou considered my servant? Put your name there. Put your name there if you're a man or woman of God. Put your name there. Have thou considered my servant Keith? And there is none like him in the earth. A perfect and upright man, one that feared God and escheweth evil. How's that sound? Oh, don't put me there. I was a little bit nervous about even saying my name and putting it in there. Because it's such a high calling. It's such an honor. It's such an honor to be even named among those that are saved. See, Daquan come in my office again. He said, "What did you say, Pastor? He said, would you like to have a big church?" I said, "Let me tell you something.
Come on. Amen. Come on.
I could imagine having 10,000 folks in church and 980,000 of them lost. I'll handle this little one.
Amen.
I'll handle this little one because I preach to them.
Amen.
I preach to them and half of them blow me right off. I don't need 980,000 people blowing me off every Sunday. But he asked me some of the craziest stuff, but he on point. Because you know, you look at preachers, and if you don't know and you just growing in God's word, you believe every preacher's desire is to have 10,000 members in a Bentley, in a helicopter, and all that. Listen, I'm closing. I'm not gonna do like Jake did Friday. I'm closing. But the question begs to be asked. Because, see, the word of God says in Matthew 7, he says it's a narrow road that leads to heaven. Okay? And few be that find it. And if you have found it, if you can leave here today comfortable knowing that if I die today, I know I'm on the narrow road. And I know that eternity waits for me with Jesus, then you are one of the few. But it says a narrow road to lead to heaven. And few be that find it. That word find me, few are willing to work at finding it.
Amen.
Are you willing to work at finding it? Are you willing to work at finding it? Are you comfortable? Are you comfortable? Because I see, once you start hitting 58, 59, 60, you know, when you're not going to turn the newspaper over without looking at the death list. You know, you go on to the obituary. Now, when you're 20 and 30, you don't read the obituary like you do when you get 50, 60, 70. But when I'm reading it, I see a whole lot of folks 20, 30, 40 leaving here. There ain't no age limit on leaving here.
Right.
Folks leaving here. Babies leaving here. Folks, one of my questions is, if you leave here today, can I just be honest? When I do your eulogy, can I just be honest? Or I just got to make up stuff. I got to tell jokes and tell funny stories. And can I keep it real? Can I keep it 100? This was a man of God. This was a woman of God.
Yes. Amen.
Father, thank you for the word of God.